The Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by the chaplain of the Senate and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
If you pray, please pray with me. Lord, you love beauty. Your works and your worship are bathed in beauty. When it came time to build the tabernacle, you said to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, knowledge, and all kinds of craftsmanship, to design artistic works in gold, silver, bronze, to cut gemstones for settings, to carve wood so that he may be a master of every craft. Moreover, I have selected Oholiab as his assistant. I've also given skill to all the craftsmen that they may fashion all that I have commanded you." And Lord, the craftsmen did this tabernacle work, and it pleased you. And Lord, Tolkien called these men sub-creators, exercising your image by fulfilling your original mandate to work and keep the garden. God, would you enable us to be your sub-creators too? I humbly pray in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary will take the roll. Senator Hovind.
Mr. President, 49 members are present. Senator Gross is excused.
Quorum is present. Senate is ready for business. Senator Ankeny.
President, may I be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction?
Senator Ankeny.
Up in the gallery, Mr. President, is my son, Lieutenant Colonel in the Marine Corps, Pete Ankeny.
Welcome to the Senate. Seeing no further introductions, without objection, we'll go to business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives and inform the Senate that House Bill 8 is on this air with three several times, and the bill is herewith transmitted to the Senate. This bill requiring adoption by an affirmative roll call vote of three quarters of each House is transmitted to the Senate with the following vote: ayes 99, nays 0. That the House of Representatives, that Senate amendments to the following House bills were on concurred in on third reading: House Bill 34 Smith, House Bill 47 McCamey, House Bill 163 Fielder, House Bill 176 Grief, House Bill 349 Hopkins, House Bill 379 Vinton. That the following Senate bills were on this day were three several times concurred in title and history creature and their heirs returned to the Senate: Senate Bill 248 Boldman. That the following Senate bills were on this day were three several times concurred in as amended title and history agreed to, and their hearth returned to the Senate for concurrence in the House amendments, Senate Bill 354, Heinbaugh. Respectfully, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House, that is all, Mr. President.
Order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, House Bill 8 is introduced, read first time, and referred to committee, that is all, Mr. President.
Order business number seven, second reading of bills, Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate
resolution. Sorry. I skipped one. I didn't look at the top there. Without objection, we better go back to order of business number two,
okay.
Reports and standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed on agriculture, livestock, and irrigation. Report that House Bill 302 be concurred in. Senator Mike Lang, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on energy and telecommunications. Report that Senate Bill 86 do pass and that House Bill 170 be concurred in. Senator Duane Ankeny, Chair. Mr. President, your Committee on Fish and Game report that Senate Bill 384 do pass as amended, that Senate Resolution 88 be adopted, and that House Bill 468 be concurred in. Senator Steve Heinbach, Chair. Mr. President, your Committee on Highways and Transportation report that House Bills 264, 586, and 589 be concurred in, and that House Bill 392 be concurred in as amended. Senator Gordon Vance, Chair. Mr. President, your Committee on Judiciary report that House Bill 391 be concurred in, and that House Bill 555 and House Joint Resolution 4 be concurred in as amended. Senator Keith Regeer, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, the committee reports are adopted. Now we'll go to order business number seven, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
For the motion, Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Senator Solomon, chairman of the day.
Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move to pass consideration on House Bill 423, revised laws to provide for additional screening of newborn infants. We're waiting for a new fiscal note on it.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay, members of the Senate, be in order. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 91. Clerk will read the history and the title.
SR 91, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a resolution of the Senate of the State of Montana concurring, confirming, and consenting to the appointments to the Board of Barbers and Cosmetologists made by the Governor and submitted by written communication dated January 14, 2021 to the Senate.
Are there any corrections to the history and title?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Resolution 91. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the nomination transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with resolution number 91.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. These are appointments by the governor to the Board of Barbers and Cosmetologists. Mr. Kirkland is a barber and Ms. Hansen is an esthetician. There were no opponents in committee. I'd ask for your support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none. Senator Fitzpatrick waves off. Members, okay. Senator cares to close. He is closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Resolution 91 and recommend the same, do pass. As many are in favor, please signify by voting aye. Many opposed, vote nay. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators voting aye, Senate Resolution 91 has passed second reading. Okay. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 94. The clerk will read the history.
SR 94, introduced by Howard, a resolution of the Senate of the State of Montana concurring, confirming, and consenting to the appointments to the Board of Public Assistance made by the Governor and submitted by written communication dated March 13, 2021 to the Senate.
Are there any corrections in history? We did that. We'll read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Resolution 94. Was your pleasure, Senator Howard?
Mr. Chairman, I move the nominations transmitted by the Governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 94.
Senator Howard.
These are the governor's appointees to the Board of Public Assistance. They are both excellent and were passed out of the committee unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion? Seeing none, Senator Howard, he has waved off. Okay, the question now arises on the motion of Senator Howard that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Resolution 94, it recommend the same do pass. As many as in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye, and those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators voting aye, 0 voting no. Senate Resolution 94 has passed second reading. Okay, members, you now have before you House amendments to Senate Bill 300. What is your pleasure, Senator Glimm?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 300, it recommend the same do not be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Senator Glimm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill went to the House, and they amended amended the heck out of it. There's the original intent of the bill is not there anymore, so I am encouraging a green light out and do not concur, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion, Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. I would, with all due respect to the good sponsor, this just popped up on my radar, but I would urge folks to resist that, and I think that the amendments that were put on in the House were done at the suggestion of a driver's ed instructor, and it allows the current system, it creates flexibility within the current system, and doesn't offer a duplicative system. So with that, with all due respect to the good senator from the Flathead, certainly hope we can use our infrastructure wisely.
Other discussion? Seeing none, Senator Glimm, care to close? Senator Glimm waves off. Question now arises on House amendments to Senate Bill 300. As many Well, let's just check this. This is a do not confirm. So voting yes means you do not confirm. Voting no means you don't. Right? Did I? Huh? Concur. Excuse me. Thank you, Senator Keenan. So, question now arises. As many are in favor of the motion, vote yes or aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting nay by proxy, we have 30 senators voting aye and 19 senators voting nay.
Okay, with 30 voting aye and 19 voting no, it has not been concurred in. Okay, we'll go back. Wrong one. Okay, members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 250. Well, check that. This is House Bill 258. Clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 258, introduced by Henkel, a bill for an act entitled an act prohibiting the enforcement of a federal ban on or regulation of firearms, magazines, ammunition, ammunition components, or firearm accessories, and providing an immediate effective date and a retroactive applicability date.
Any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
And the sections?
Sections 1 through 7.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 258. What is your pleasure, Senator McGilvery?
Mr. Chairman, I move when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 258 that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator McGilvery.
So, members, this is a bill, House Bill 258. It's the Montana Firearm, Magazine, and Ammunition Ban Enforcement Act. It has three primary objectives, and you'll find the first one on line 9 through 13, or toward the, yeah, excuse me, on line 25, where we have some definitions where we're defining a federal ban. It means a federal law, executive order, rule, regulation, then skipping down to 27, that infringes upon, calls into question, or prohibits, restricts, or requires individual licensure for or registration of the purchase, ownership, possession, transfer, or use of any firearm. Then at the top of page 2, any magazine or other ammunition, feeding device, or other firearm accessory. That's the first thing it does, defines federal ban. Secondly, it prohibits Montana law enforcement officers from enforcing or assisting in the enforcement of a federal ban on firearms, magazines, or ammunition. And third, that's down on line 9 through 13 on page 2. Thirdly, it prohibits the state or political subdivision from expending public funds to support the enforcement of a federal ban. This authority to do this act comes from three primary sources, and you find that on page 1. Middle of the page, 19, line 19. The authority for this act is the Second and Tenth Amendments of the United States Constitution, the Compact, which is Article 1 of your Montana Constitution, and the Montana Constitution, Article 2, Section 12. So this is where the authority for this bill, and also the court case Prince versus the court case Prince, which was versus the United States, which was a court case, I think it was back in 97, if I'm not mistaken, where Raleigh County Sheriff challenged the Brady Bill, where he was being required to enforce different orders of that bill, like applications and refusing handgun applications. And this was found unconstitutional under the 10th Amendment. So I bring this up today because this is simply not a hypothetical issue. Some people are saying, oh, that's all hypothetical, that's not going to happen. But it's not hypothetical. And I want to bring to your attention again that the current administration, the president, has issued 57 executive orders to date. If you extrapolate that out, he's on pace to issue nearly 1,000 executive orders in his four-year tenure. And I'll just list out some of the ones he's already issued. And so pay attention to this. Coronavirus, 15 orders, immigration, 11, income equity, 8, the economy, 7, the environment, 5, national security, 4, healthcare, 2, Census 1, Ethics, Regulation, Labor, and Other 1. And you might think to yourself, okay, what's missing? Well, it's obvious what's missing there. It has to do with this bill. The president's press secretary last week said that the president will issue an executive order on gun control. So we know that's coming. Just a matter of a week's time or two. We don't know what it's going to look like, but I don't have any hope that it's not going to look bad to those of us who appreciate the Second Amendment. Let me read the Second Amendment to you, because that's where the authority for this bill comes from, or at least part of it. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, the late Justice Scalia, in the Heller case, and again, that was back in the late 90s, I think, as well, in the majority opinion, argued that this case clearly says that every individual U.S. citizen has a right to bear arms. So there's two clauses in this Second Amendment. First clause is the prefatory clause. That's a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the free state. That's the purpose. And the objective clause is to keep and bear arms. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So there's a purpose, the security of a free state. The way that's carried out is that each one of us has a right to keep and bear arms. These 10 amendments were put there as restrictions on government, and they need to remain respected as restrictions on government. And I would say that if we allow the federal government to begin to push executive orders, whether it be gun control or any other issue that interferes with the United States Constitution or the Montana Constitution, then the government will become a totalitarian government, not a dictatorship, totalitarian. That means they'll control every aspect of our life. That's what you think, that's what you do, that's what you say, that's where you go, that's how you travel, that's your medical care. Every aspect of our life, and they will dictate to us the freedoms we have and the freedoms we don't have. In other words, freedom will be a distant memory we'll tell our kids about. Remember back when we used to be able to travel from state to state. Remember back when your grandpa used to be able to have a gun in his safe at home. It's clear to me that we would not have a constitution if it weren't for these Bill of Rights. Because when the Constitution was being debated, it was clear, unless you give us this Bill of Rights, unless you put restrictions on government, that you give us the right to keep and bear arms for our security and safety, then we'll not ratify this Constitution. That was the deal. So I would encourage a green light. Let's preserve these freedoms. Let's not let the federal government, through executive orders or laws or regulations, rob us of our constitutional Second Amendment right. I would encourage members of the body a green light on this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Are there amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion. I see Senator Weber has.
Mr. Chair, speak to the bill. I guess what bothers me about this bill is that it says that state officials cannot enforce a federal gun law or limit their ability to do so. This bill, what it can do is basically punish state employees and elected officials who help federal government. It basically says, federal government, if you want to enforce federal firearms laws, in the state of Montana, you're welcome to it, but we won't give you any assistance. That's the thing that bothers me the most on this, is that the employees, state employees and/or state officials, are prohibited and may be punished for doing so. Further, the federal government, the Supremacy Clause, has been upheld over and over again. And states can't limit federal law. That's the basic. We all know that. Any laws that interfere with a valid federal law is unconstitutional. And that's what bothers me about this bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Anybody else want to discuss? Seeing none, Senator, would you care to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to encourage us to vote green. Let's protect our constitutional rights. Let's stand firm on this. As Justice Roberts once said, the states are independent sovereigns, so let's act like it and vote green. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. The question now arises on the motion of Senator McGilvery that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 258, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye, and those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting nay by proxy, we have 30 senators voting aye and 19 senators voting nay.
With 30 voting aye and 19 voting nay, House Bill 258 has been concurred in. Okay, now we have, you may have before you for your consideration, House Bill 382. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 382, introduced by Curdy, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to prohibiting the use of exploding targets on state lands and waters during times of dangerous fire conditions, defining exploding targets, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Any sections?
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 382. What is your pleasure, Senator Sands?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when this committee does rise and report having had under consideration House Bill 382 that the same be concurred in.
Senator Sands.
Members of the body, a simple bill trying to help prevent some fires out there. Some of us are familiar with some of the new fun toys we have out there, like exploding targets. What this bill says, and you'll love this, those of us who remember our dear former senator from Whitefish, who would say, you can't legislate stupid. Well, this is an attempt to legislate stupid. That when the state has declared that the fire danger is high, very high, or extreme, that the DNRC on state lands will be able to post, and there's a misdemeanor fine if you use exploding targets during that high fire period, because you're likely to start a fire. That's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Seeing none, Senator, would you care to close? The Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Sands that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 382, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye, and those opposed no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 35 senators voting aye and 15 senators voting nay.
With 35 senators voting aye and 15 nay, House Bill 382 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 394. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 394, introduced by Noland, a bill for an act entitled an act exempting certain air and water pollution control and carbon capture equipment from property taxation, amending section.
Thank you. Are there any corrections?
None, Mr. Chairman.
How about the sections?
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 394. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had in consideration House Bill 394, that I recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, back in 2014, we passed a bill that gave a 10-year exemption on property taxes for pollution control equipment. Simply all this bill does is make that exemption permanent. We shouldn't be taxing those who are required to put pollution control equipment on their electrical generation or any other type of manufacturing business. Something we all want to do is limit pollution, and I think this is a good bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Seeing none, Senator Hertz, would you care to close? Question now arises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill, I believe it's 394, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye, and those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators voting aye, House Bill 394 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 616. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 616, introduced by Hopkins, a bill for an act entitled an act amending tax increment financing laws to require a governing body to approve a tax increment provision, amending sections, and providing an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title?
None, Mr. Chairman.
How about sections?
Section 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now before you House Bill 316. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had in consideration House Bill 616, I recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, it's another good bill that came out of your Senate Tax Committee unanimously. The title says it all, an act amending tax increment financing laws to require an elected governing body to approve tax increment provisions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Seeing none, Senator Hertz, would you care to close? He has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 616, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye, and those opposed, no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators voting aye, House Bill 616 has been concurred in second reading. Okay, members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 298. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 298, introduced by Galloway, a bill for an act entitled an act revising the information that must be included on a property valuation statement requiring inclusion of the prior market value and an explanation for certain increases in value, and amending section.
Any corrections to the history and title?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now before you for your consideration House Bill 298. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had in consideration House Bill 298, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, the House has got another great bill here that came out of our tax committee unanimously. Basically, all this bill does, if you go on page 2, lines 9 and 10, on your reappraisal notice that you get, they have to add a couple of new things on there. Basically the market value from the prior reappraisal cycle, and then also on line 10, if it's more than 10%, the department needs to provide a reason for that increase, and some of those reasons are on the fiscal note, line 1. It would be like new construction, change in percentage of completion, change in value, change in tax class application, market appreciation, etc. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would recommend a due pass.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion? Seeing none, Senator Hertz, care to close? He is closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 298, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye, and those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators voting aye, let's see, House Bill 298 has been concurred in. Okay, members, you have before you for your consideration a Senate bill, Senate Bill 376. Will the clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
Senate Bill 376, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising apportionment of income for purposes of Montana's corporate income tax, adopting a double-weighted sales factor apportionment model, amending section, and providing an immediate effective date and an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Section 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now before you Senate Bill 376. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had on consideration Senate Bill 376, I recommend the same do pass.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is another great bill brought to me by myself and at the request of the governor. So, members, for those of you who don't live in the tax world, basically we have, for multi-state corporations, we have a multi-factor as to how do you determine how much income taxes that a corporation may pay in a state when they're doing business in multiple states. So currently under our statutes, we have three different factors: sales, property, and payroll. So you get a ratio of all those, and let's say it, and then you divide it by three, the total of them, it came up to 33%. So if a company's making whatever their income is, we get to tax 33% of it. All this bill does, if you look on page 7, lines 2 and 3, it's kind of hard to find the changes in here, but what we're doing is doubling the sales factor and keeping the payroll factor and the property factor the same, and then divide by 4. So what that does is we have a lot of out-of-state companies that do business in our state, and basically all they're doing is dumping sales into our state. They have very little, if any, property or payroll. So this basically, it makes them pay a little bit more in taxes, and it's just fair to the brick and mortar folks who live and work here, and we can collect a little more taxes from these out-of-state primarily companies that are doing business in our state. So I'd request a due pass, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Is there discussion? I see Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill.
Please.
Mr. Chair, members of the body in taxation, and thank you, Senator from Polson, for bringing this to us. In taxation, we spend a good deal of time looking at the difference between intention versus impact, and we do that in all of our bills that we look at. But it's a very complex system, as you heard here, looking at the factors of bringing folks into the state and what's your fair share. And this, and I commend the sponsor for working hard. There was great pushback by a number of businesses initially, and so there were revisions made and complexities made. And my concern is that there's not only a significant fiscal impact that we'll have, about $3 million to the state coming in here, but also we will see some businesses, telecommunications, for example, railroads, for example, that will have a higher impact than some of the other businesses. So I am speaking in opposition of this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any more discussion? I see none out there. Senator Hertz, would you care to close?
Members of the body, thank you. And if you want to support your Montana Main Street businesses and have them pay a little bit less taxes, this is a good bill. Vote green.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill and 376, it recommend the same do pass. All those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye, and those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting nay by proxy, we have 31 senators voting aye and 19 senators voting nay.
With 31 senators voting aye, 19 voting no, Senate Bill 376 is passed second reading. Members, we have before you for your consideration another House bill, House Bill 589. The clerk will read the history and the title.
House Bill 589, introduced by Mercer, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws for disposition of funds from lawsuits brought regarding unfair trade practice and consumer protection, requiring certain transfers to the general fund, setting a date for transfers, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you have before you House Bill 589. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had in consideration House Bill 589, it recommends the same be concurred in.
Mr. Fitzpatrick, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. All this bill does is it caps the amount of fines, settlement proceeds, things awarded to the government as a result of actions brought by the state for unfair trade practices. If you look in the bill, the amount is capped at 3 times the budget appropriated amount to the department, just to make sure that this fund account doesn't get too high. So with that, I'd ask for a green light. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion? Seeing none, Senator Fitzpatrick has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 589. It recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye, and those opposed, no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators voting aye, House Bill 589 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 201. The clerk will read the history and the title.
House Bill 201, introduced by Homland, a bill for an act entitled an act clarifying the calculation of zone pay and travel allowances in a prevailing wage district, providing a definition, amending section, and providing an effective date.
Corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 201. What is your pleasure, Senator Heinbaugh?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having a consideration House Bill 201, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Heinbaugh.
Mr. Chair, I'm kind of glad to see how things are going today. Green lights everywhere. Let's just keep it rolling here. I've got House Bill 201 is related to prevailing wage determination, specifically designed of dispatch cities. Currently, Billings, Bozeman, Butte, Great Falls, Helena, Kalispell, and Missoula are designated and rural as dispatch cities. That equates to 2 dispatch cities for 3 of the 4 prevailing wage districts. District 4 has Billings, which is located on the very west edge of the district, and it's all easily the biggest district. So on the prevailing wage deals, everybody has to up their wages on public projects by a certain amount if you're over 60 miles from the designated city. So everybody in eastern Montana does that. This bill is about fairness and helps some eastern Montana taxpayers by decreasing public project costs related to zone pay to the workers on public projects. It does impact workers that travel to projects in or near Miles City or Sydney, but the impact on the taxpayer is also real. Many times the workers on the jobs, which include any public project over $25,000, are local. The local government has to pay the zone pay even if they're working from down the street. And I just say, let's give some people in eastern Montana a break on all the public projects that they have. Let's vote green. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Senator Heinbaugh. Senator Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak to the bill, please.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, House Bill 201 proposes to add 2 additional dispatch cities to the 4 districts currently used to determine zone pay and travel pay for public-funded building projects. The Montana Contractors Association, the Montana State AFL-CIO, Montana Buildings and Trades Council, and all the unions representing workers involved in construction testified in opposition to this bill. Several years ago, there were dispatch cities on the eastern side of the state, and due to this designation, the workers were not eligible for zone pay or travel pay. Contractors, unions, and interested parties met with the Department of Labor to discuss the issues of the difficulty to get skilled workers to travel. Based on the facts presented, the decision was made by the department to reduce those dispatch cities. Members, zone pay and travel pay provides an incentive for skilled workers to travel away from their families to earn a living. The additional pay these workers receive will go right back into the local economy where the projects are being built, paying for their food, their lodging, gas, and any other living expenses. You also need to realize that construction can be a seasonal work in Montana. Workers in the trades need to work as long as they can with weather permitting. Another thing to consider is the construction season is in full swing at the height of the tourist season. Hotels, campgrounds are raising their rates and are booked in advance. This presents a problem not only for the cost, but also for availability for hotel rooms and even campsites for these workers. The These workers are willing to leave their homes and family and travel to rural areas to build these projects for your communities. As you know, right now, there is a big push to get more young people into the trades. You will not be able to attract apprentices to travel to an area where there is no zone pay or travel pay. Apprentice wages are low starting out, and they're just not going to financially be able to travel. This is going to have a big impact on the ability to hire apprentices. I think if you want to do the right thing, draft a study bill, invite all the stakeholders together and figure this out. In closing, I would like to say, as legislators, we receive a per diem to pay for rent, food, and our essentials while we are working in the session. I would suggest we provide the same for workers who work on public projects away from their homes as we do. Please vote no on House Bill 201. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Bogner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the body. Rural Eastern Montana really struggles to fund public projects, especially large critical infrastructure ones. Putting a couple dispatch cities back in the east will make it a little easier, and it'll take some burden off the taxpayers. This is a very important bill for Eastern and rural Montana. Vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Small.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just to start out with this kind of legislation, it seems pretty benign. Let's help build a project. Let's do this. Let's do that. Well, the fact of the matter is the dispatch cities are at where they're at right now because there becomes a problem. You cannot get these workers to go five hours away from home and do a job, and you can't expect them to work for free. So they get a little extra bump right there. I've been a transient worker for more or less 20 years of my life at this point. What happens when you're traveling and you're working? You go to a small town, the gas station raises the gas price. You go to the grocery store, they bump their stuff up 7%. Hotel rooms go from $60 to $120 a night. They bleed all the money out of you anyway. So here we're turning around, we're introducing legislation to further, basically take money out of your pocket. People like I or us, workers who go do these kind of projects, you're keeping up two homes. You've got your real home where your children are, your family, and then you're, who knows? I mean, sometimes I'm 20 hours away and I'm renting a hotel room or I'm renting a house or doing something like that. All we're doing with this legislation right here, even though it's kind of a feel-good moment, is we are taking resources away from our workers. It's not going to drop the cost of these jobs. These contractors are going to have to pay per diem anyway, so that's incorporated in the bid also. All we're doing with this right here, we're just giving money back to the government. It's not good legislation.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Molinar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to echo what Senator Small just said. He's talking about he used to be a traveling worker. I am a traveling worker, 1686. They'll call me on, say, Thursday and say, can you show up in and pick some small town? Probably in Senator Heinbaugh's district, perhaps Powder Riverville. Can you come down and work on Saturday? They call me again on Friday. They'll call me on Saturday morning. They've gone through the whole list, and they can't find anybody. What's so special about me? I've taken the course, and I've been certified that I passed the OSHA exam to work on a highway, and without that, they can't go forward. We are a unique group. What Senator Small just talked about, $18 to $20 an hour is what the zone differential is. If I drive half a day Friday or get up Saturday morning at midnight and drive up there, 5 hours up, 5 hours back, let's say I'm getting top differential because this is still in place. The old system is still in place. $200. Motel, $80. Gas, $60. I'm into 140 out of 200. I'm supposed to do that for $60 and buy my food and my steel-toed boots. I don't go. The Montana Contractors Association was against this because the system currently is overstressed because the wages are too low to get somebody to fill in. Yes, Senator Heimbach, somebody in your town might be making 18 bucks. Come to Laurel, you can make 15 on the night crew at McDonald's. Or you stand on a hot bridge with a deck of 140 degrees, no shade, all day for a grand total of $30 more. Nobody is sticking a fat cat with this. We are the contractors oppose it because they don't want to stop a project. You want to talk expensive? Shut down the heavy equipment operator because Brad Molnar was supposed to be the tender and he couldn't show up. Couldn't hold a sign that says slow or go. Stop or slow. Without that, the project stops. Overpaid? I don't think so. Neither do the other people who've been called three times and won't show up. This is an idea that those that live it know is a really bad idea.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have to support this bill. The majority of my district is over 60 miles away at best. I can only imagine, I mean, I'm north of Great Falls, 130 miles, Havers, 140 from Great Falls. These people have to drive that extra mileage, granted, but they're getting paid. And if you're doing a public project, you're paying those people for the transportation, which is costly. So please vote for this one, please.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Hovind.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, no one's forcing these people to go to Eastern Montana to do these jobs. They go there by choice. If the wages aren't good enough, they don't go. Simple. And if they can't find anyone to do the job, then we'll raise the wages. So let the market do the trick. Don't force the people in the eastern part of the state to pay an artificially high wage. Let the market determine that wage. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any other people that want to discuss? Senator Ankeny.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With all due respect to the good senator that's bringing this bill, and I do understand Eastern Montanans' concern with this bill. But you know, clarification of zone pay and travel is the low-hanging fruit. The labor force is the low-hanging fruit. Let's go after their travel pay and their subsistence. When a lot of these jobs, your major cost is engineering. Nobody wants to go after the engineering firms. They got too much money to lobby. Who lobbies for the workers? Not that many people. You cut this out, and you're going to start getting a lot of contractors out of North Dakota, South Dakota, into eastern Montana to do this work. You're not going to have Montana people doing this work. Now, I think that this is low-hanging fruit. This is not the major cost in the construction of a building. I would lay it on engineering costs that are way out of control. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Any more discussion? Seeing none, Senator Heinbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was telling Senator from Big Timber the other day that I preach once in a while, and I'm not sure how long I can talk today, but Senator Solomon will probably be pretty nice to me. But this is an interesting subject. Let me just give you a couple examples about what happens. They built a school in Ekalaka, Montana. It cost just around $3 million. It cost $250,000 more because of the zone pay. We done a project in Glendive this year. it costs $400,000 more than what it would have cost without the zone pay. That's them are real people over there. Last time I checked, they got kids, they got to make a living, they got to figure out how this works out. That's real money. A little story that my dad used to tell me when I was growing up is he said, "We're going to double your wage every year." Took me about 3 years to figure out 2 times 0 still zero. That might be what happens. You might want the job that pays, I was reading through some of this stuff, 50 prevailing wages, like with benefits, is $45, $50 an hour in a lot of these jobs. You might want a job like that. I had a few guys call me this year that worked in a roundhouse in Glendive. They don't have one anymore. Their people promoted no coal. They promoted things that the railroad hauled, and pretty soon they said, "We ain't going to do it anymore." They called me from all over the country, Washington, Minnesota, North Dakota, saying, we know we're voting for you this time because we haven't before, and look where it got us. Because people understand that if you don't have a job, I don't care how much you get paid, it don't pay nothing. So that's how it works. So I'm just saying, price yourself out of the market, and then there won't be anything happen. 2 times 0 still zero. So I think we need to go back to how we were in 2014. There's a reason why some bureaucrats in Helena took and made this so that the dispatch cities were different. And just because, I guess, I don't know. They didn't talk to the taxpayers, so let's vote green on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Hinebaugh that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 201, it recommend the same be concurred in. All those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross voting nay by proxy, we have 27 senators voting aye and 23 senators voting nay.
With 27 senators voting aye, 23 senators voting nay, House Bill 201 has been concurred in on second reading. Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move to pass consideration on a House Bill 426.
Thank you. Without objection? Seeing none? Okay. Senator Smith, would you care?
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no. Ayes have it.
Senate will be in order. The secretary will read the report. Oh.
Mr. President, we are committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate Bill 376 passed. Senate Resolutions 91 and 94 adopted. House amendments to Senate Bill 300 not concurred in. House Bills 201, 258, 298, 322, 394, 589, and 616, 201 concurred in. Passed House Bill 423 and 426.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the committee report.
For the motion of Senator Solomon that the committee of the whole report be adopted. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary or Senator Temple? Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 41 have voted yes, 8 have voted no.
41 senators haven't voted aye, and 8 senators haven't voted no. The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator Solomon. Order of business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 169, introduced by Cuff, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Voter ID Laws.
Senate Bill 169, I've been read through several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? Non-Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 31 have voted yes, 18 have voted no.
31 senators haven't voted aye, 18 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 169 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 196, introduced by McGillivray, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Polling Place Hours Laws.
Senate Bill 196, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 29 have voted yes, 20 have voted no.
29 senators haven't voted aye, and 20 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 196 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 211, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled Revised Local Subdivision Review Criteria Regarding Agriculture.
Senate Bill 211, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 31 have voted yes, 18 have voted no.
With 31 senators haven't voted aye and 18 senators haven't voted no, Senate Bill 211 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 230, introduced by Lang, a bill for an act entitled Repaying General Fund for Initial Implementation of Sage Grouse Act.
Senate Bill 230, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? If not, the Secretary records the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye and 0 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 230 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 57, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled Revised Requirements Related to CPS Placements in Congregate Care.
House Bill 57, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 57 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 66, introduced by Moore, a bill for an act entitled Reauthorized Securities Restitution Fund.
House Bill 66, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? If the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 48 have voted yes, 1 has voted no.
48 senators haven't voted aye, and 1 senator haven't voted no. House Bill 66 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 231, introduced by Regeer, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws Relating to Certificate of Need.
House Bill 231, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 33 have voted yes, 16 have voted no.
33 senators haven't voted aye, and 16 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 231 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 280, introduced by Regeer, a bill for an act entitled Repeal Authorization for Senior Citizen Legislature.
House Bill 280, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? If not, Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 37 have voted yes, 12 have voted no.
37 senators haven't voted aye, and 12 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 280 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 407, introduced by Noland, a bill for an act entitled Establish a Statewide Uniformity for Auxiliary Container Regulations.
House Bill 407, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 29 have voted yes, 20 have voted no.
29 senators haven't voted aye, and 20 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 407 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 482, introduced by Gunderson, a bill for an act entitled Revised License Plate Laws.
House Bill 482, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 482 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 558, introduced by Noland, a bill for an act entitled Revised Franchise Laws Relating to Transfer of Franchise.
House Bill 558, I've been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? If not, Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 558 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 609, introduced by Kearns, a bill for an act entitled Provide for a Donation-Funded State Indigent Funeral Account.
House Bill 609, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 609 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
Order of business number 9, motion. Senator Smith.
Mr. President, I move to refer Senate Bill 376, Corporate Tax Modernization Through Double Sales Factor Appointment, sponsor Senator Hertz. Move it to Finance and Claims.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move the appointment of a free conference committee on Senate Bill 300, General Revised Laws Related to Driver Education, sponsor Senator Glimm. And request the House to appoint a like committee.
The President appoints Senator Glimm, Chair, Senator Vance, Senator Sands to the Free Conference Committee on Senate Bill 300. Senator Jacobson.
Mr. Chair, I was really would like to donate to the basketball today, so I have I'd like to change my vote on Senate Bill 211 and also on 231. It will not change the outcome of either vote.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Molnar.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to make a motion to take Senate Bill 390 from committee and place on second reading on the 64th legislative day. Mr. President.
Senator Molnar, and if you'll just let us know what the title of the bill is, if you have that or so forth as well.
It's really long, but
okay.
Basically it's an act generally revising hydroelectric generation facility fees for the use of Montana's water.
Okay, Senator Molnar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had a hearing, I believe it was yesterday, and we took executive action today. Right after this bill got killed, we had another bill, one of a long series of bills, that attempt to reduce property taxes, which you've all heard about. And that bill, like all the others, shifted the burden from one group to another group. Nothing really got changed other than who we took money from. What Senate Bill 390 does, and this is unique, is that the Montana Constitution, Article 9, Section 3, says that this is our water to be used for the beneficial use of Montanans. The Montana Supreme Court has already upheld on all counts a similar action. There's been one federal that on very different bases said no. This is our water to be used by the beneficial use by the people of Montana. That's our constitutional obligation. When we put it through a federal hydro facility, we get nothing for our property right. It then generates electricity for people in Seattle. This says that that property rate will be established at the same value of the severance tax on coal because we're severing the power of our water for the benefit of others. It costs a person in Seattle less than a penny a year. If you want to hear more, let's bring it to the floor. It's worth about $400 million in property tax relief by reducing the 95 mills across the state.
Further discussion. Senator Hoven.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, this bill was heard yesterday. There were no proponents, and we had half a dozen opponents. It is an interesting concept, and I guess if you want to spend some time, bring it to the floor, but I don't think it would be of much value. Thank you.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd agree with the chairman of Senate Tax. We did have a good hearing on this bill, and I would encourage you to oppose this motion. It's a very complicated bill, and I think this might deserve some studying in the interim.
Further discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator Molnar, would you like to close on your motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Let's talk about two of the opponents. Montana Taxpayers Association. Personally, I feel that they should be supporting the Montana taxpayer and not worrying about raising the rates in Seattle on a family by 1 cent. Avista came in against us because they have a dam, an Oxen Dam. It would raise rates on their ratepayers less than a penny a year, actually. But it reduces taxes on their dam. It reduces taxes on the businesses that we just reduced them on up to 200,000. It reduces the taxes on the poor people and the veterans. We killed their bill today. It reduces taxes on everybody and funds our schools. What you need is a nexus to survive the court challenge. The case that was brought forward was Sneed versus Public Service Commission, where in Arizona they said, we're going to tax this generation that goes out of state. We're not going to tax ourselves. And it's not their electricity, it's not their generators. This is our water right. It's our property right. We're not using it. All states banded together on the Montana Clean Water Act to preserve their right to their water. If we don't preserve our right to our water, we've either thrown it away or it'll be taken from us. Agreeing will allow you to learn a little more, and no matter what, go back and say, I tried to reduce your property tax.
Okay, the motion before us is to remove Senate Bill 390 from the Senate Taxation Committee and place it on second reading tomorrow, the 64th legislative day. Those in favor of the motion will signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Ankeny? Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 21 have voted yes, 28 have voted no.
21 senators haven't voted aye, and 28 senators haven't voted no. The motion fails. Senator Conower, did you? I didn't know. I saw you had the microphone. I wasn't sure.
I did, Mr. Chairman. I was just curious why we did a free conference committee on SB 300 instead of a conference committee to start out with, because we haven't had one on that. Normally, you just do a conference committee to deal with the amendments rather than jumping right to a free conference committee.
Senator Glenn, I know that was, I think that was at your request, wasn't it, as a sponsor? I know you've been in contact with those that were on the amendments. I didn't know if you had anything to add. I know it was at the sponsor's request is why we made that.
Yeah, so. It was just a choice, so that's what I picked.
Okay.
But Mr. Chairman, we normally do a conference committee, and if it can't be agreed to, then we go to the free conference committee to have more of a discussion. What the free conference committee does is allow for more discussion beyond and changes to the bill that are way past just what the amendments did to the bill. So I have a bit of concern of us jumping over a normal process, Mr. Chairman.
Duly noted, Senator Conower. All right. Seeing no further motions, we'll go to order business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Aguirre.
Mr. President, tomorrow, Senate Judiciary meet at 8 o'clock in the morning, four bills.
Senator Hoven.
Mr. President, Senate Tax will meet tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., one bill.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Business and Labor tomorrow, 9 o'clock, room 422.
Senator Gothier.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Local Government today at 3 o'clock. Room change. We're going to be in room 350. Again, room 350. Executive action and one bill.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Natural Resources at 2:30. We've got a bill sponsor and a boatload of members that need to be in finance and claims not too long after that, so we're changing it up a little bit.
Senator Kerry.
Thank you, Mr. President. State administration will meet at 2:30. We have four executive actions, and then the committee has five bills on schedule.
Senator Osmundson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Finance and Claims will meet at 3 o'clock. We're going to do executive action on House Bill 2, so if you have committees to go to, that's fine, but we will need a quorum by 3 o'clock.
Senator Howard.
Mr. President, Senate Public Health will meet at 2:30 for executive action, and then we will have three bills. Thank you.
Senator Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Education Day, 3 o'clock, one bill.
Senator Friedel.
Mr. President, can I be off and out?
Senator Friedel.
I'd like to recognize one of our esteemed county commissioners from Yellowstone County, Dennis Pittman, up in the rafters.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Howard. Senator Howard.
Mr. President, I forgot to mention that we have a room change. Public Health will meet in room 405. Thank you.
Senator Sweeney.
Mr. President, can I be off the record now to the journal?
Senator Sweeney.
For an announcement on the basketball. I don't know if you've seen the score yet, but I will read it right now, right as of today, the Senate $2,970, the House $1,560. Yeah, thank you, everybody. That's good. So tonight we're going to have at the Brew House at 5:30. First drink is free, and we have a few more squares to fill out. So. See me before the end of the day or show up this evening at the Brew House. Thank you.
Seeing no further announcements, just a reminder today at 5 o'clock. Ooh, was there something else? Oh, Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, sounds good. We're heading to the fourth quarter, though. Just be careful. I know those House members over there are younger and quicker. I do not want to lose this game, so dig deep into your pockets. That basketball still needs to be filled up.
All right. Thank you. Well, I know Senator Jacobson's adding to that today, so we're maybe we'll double it, right? Just a reminder, today at 5 o'clock in the Supreme Court chambers, for anybody, you're all invited, the USS Montana, they're going to have a ceremony with the bell. Also, just a little bit on timing, so tomorrow we'll come on at 1, just like normal. Try to have kind of a normal floor session, not too long. A few committees may need to meet afterwards. I know there's some hearings going on. Plan is on Tuesday, we'll probably come on the floor at 1. I think that's just because we need to make sure these Senate bills get through. Have asked for any of the committees that need to take action, if they can come in a little bit before that to try to take action on Senate bills. Obviously, we're waiting on some fiscal notes to catch up. We'll probably have one board at 1, and then maybe another short board a little bit later that afternoon, or at least come back onto the floor to read any committee reports that we need to for those afternoon committees, so we can get all those bills in the process to have them on Wednesday, and whatever needs to go down to finance for them as well before we get to the Thursday deadline. So just for you, everybody planning the Easter break. So with that, Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 1 p.m. April 1st, the 64th legislative day.
For the motion, Majority Leader Smith. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate will reconvene at 1 p.m. on April 1st.